Father, we just want to commit our brother to you. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you that you've laid and given him a clarity this morning, a revelation. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just enable our brother to speak that forth in power under the unction of the Holy Spirit and accurately and clearly, Lord, that we'd be able to receive it as your word and allow it to change our lives. We commit this time in Jesus' name into your hands. Amen.
Good morning, excuse me. Good morning, church, and welcome. May the peace of God be with each of you as you have come this morning. May God truly touch each of your hearts. I know he has. I've experienced that already this morning, and I know you have as well. As you consider your life, as you consider your life in view of the cross, what does it look like? Is your wealth in the cross? That was a beautiful picture again this morning about our wealth being in the cross. And as we consider the cross and as we consider the glory of Jesus Christ, what does he mean to you? We'd like to look this morning a little bit at what grace means. I know we've talked about grace a lot, grace in our lives, God's grace on us. And we'd like to look at what it means as you live that out. What does grace look like in your life as you live for Jesus Christ? Now, what is grace? What is grace? There's many definitions. And the one I like best is the divine influence in your heart that influences your life. The divine influence. So what divine influence do you have on your heart this morning? If you have a divine influence, it's something that's from outside. So if I were to ask you, what's in your heart this morning? What divine influence? Do you have the influence of the angels around you? Do you have the influence of Satan? Is Satan influencing your heart? Do you have the influence of Jesus Christ in your heart? What influence is in your heart? What is in there? And if we go to Ephesians chapter 2, which we will to start, Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 to verse 10. And just as a basis, a foundation for us to understand what has to happen in our heart before you can receive grace. If you have a some container and you want to put a certain chemical in there, you need to know that that container is clean from other chemicals, because if you put certain chemicals together, you will have a very fascinating, very interesting reaction coming out of that container. So that container needs to be clean and free of certain chemicals. And the same thing is true with us. If we're going to experience grace in our lives, if you're going to experience the power of God, the divine influence in your life, something has to happen in your heart. And Ephesians chapter 2 talks about that. And I'm going to read it in the King James Version, and you can read along in whatever version you have. This is talking about us as Christians. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Your heart, which was black and dark, first of all, before you can experience the divine influence, needs to be emptied. And what is it going to be emptied of? I can't get inside my heart and empty it of the lust. I can't get inside my heart, empty it of the desires of my flesh, my body, that wants to live out things that are wrong. I can't get in my heart and do that. I can't empty it. So the only way I can do it is to open up my hands and say, God, here I am. I repent. My heart is yours. My heart is here for you, God. Empty it. Take it. Empty it. And God doesn't empty your heart. This is a side note. God doesn't empty your heart. He takes that heart out and gives you a brand new one. God replaces that heart with a brand new heart. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You don't just have a container that you have cleaned up. You have a brand new heart. So if you have a brand new heart, grace can fill that heart. You know, your old heart could never contain, it could never hold the grace of God. Your old heart is not able to hold it, that grace that God has. You need a brand new heart to be able to contain that grace. And again, back to the definition of grace. What is grace? It is the divine influence on your heart and its influence in your life. The grace of God. Have you received that grace? Has God poured out that grace on you this morning? And if you say yes to that, that means that you have a brand new heart. If you say yes to the fact that God poured out his grace on you, you have a brand new heart. And that's what it talks about in John chapter 1, in verse 14 to 17. He talks about that, and we're going to read those verses. I'm going to turn to a number of verses this morning just because the Word of God is so beautiful. It is so alive. It is so amazing. And I love the Word. Every chapter I get, or every book that I get to in the Bible, I say it's my favorite book until I get to the next one. Because it's so alive, it's so full of life. And John chapter 1, talking of what is going to happen to you if you get a brand new heart and experience that brand new heart. Verse 14 to 17, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now this is for you if you have a brand new heart. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, or grace upon grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace upon grace. As you have a new heart, as you have a brand new heart, there's grace upon grace. The divine influence continues to be poured out into your life. If you let it, if you keep your heart open, if you continue to stand there and say, God, here I am. I'm open. God, here I am. Pour your grace on me. Pour it in, Lord. Pour that divine influence into my heart. Now, what does that divine influence, what's the purpose of that? If you read through the New Testament, you look at the different things that happen in the church. You see the gifts that happened, the miracles that happened. As you read through the Gospels, every one of the Gospels talks about all the works that Jesus did, all the works that he did while he was here on this earth. The healings he did, the miracles he did, the demons he cast out, as you read through. So is that what the purpose of this grace is for? Is that what it's for? Possibly. Yes, it is. That's one of the reasons for the grace, is so that you can be that same representation of Jesus Christ when he was on this earth. That you can become that living, breathing, not God, because you will never be God. You can never become God. But you're going to become that representation of what God looks like in a body. So when people look at you this coming week, what are they going to see? Are they going to see you? Or are they going to see God, the representation of Jesus Christ lived out in a body? That's the privilege we have to receive this grace. That's one of the reasons we have this grace. Now, as we look at 1 Corinthians 15, we were in the book of Corinthians this morning, and if we go to chapter 15, and we're just, all these chapters that we're going to, we're breaking into the thoughts in the middle of a thought, and it's not really fair. I thought about coming up here and just reading all the context of all these scriptures, because it gives such a better picture, a more complete picture. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and 10, and this is talking about the Apostle Paul and his desire to live for Christ. And he's talking now in verse 9 of what he was like. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. What are you looking at this morning as you think of the grace of God, as you have received a brand new heart? So I'm talking to believers this morning, people who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb, and you've received a brand new heart, and you now have the privilege to live in that grace, in the power, that divine influence. So what are you looking at? As you go about your week, what are you looking at? This morning, it's easy to come, and it's easy to sit here and look at Jesus, how beautiful he is, how wonderful he is, and how amazing Jesus is. That's a beautiful thing to do this morning. But I want to ask you, what are you going to look at this coming week? Monday morning when you get up, you feel terrible because you don't feel like getting up. It's Monday morning, and you've got to begin your week again. I'm not looking at you, ladies. Guys, it's the same for us. Monday morning is here. What am I looking at? Oh, I stayed out too late last night. I feel terrible. I don't want to get up. What am I looking at? What are you looking at, fathers, as you get up? It's Monday morning. You begin your week. You know you have a busy week. You know you have lots to do. You know there's lots of things that weigh down on you because you need to make decisions. Mothers, what are you looking at as your week begins? What are you looking at as those questions come? What are you looking at? What do you see? Paul stopped here in verse 9 and he said, I am the least of the apostles. Is that really what he felt about himself? Is that what he thought about the new heart that God had put inside of him? That he was still such a worthless person? Is that what he felt? I don't believe so. He was saying, in my old life, in my past, the things that I did made me worthless. I wasn't even fit to be called into the kingdom. Jesus called Paul and made him worthy. It talks about that as he was given that new heart and as the grace of God came on him, he is what he is. I am what I am. I love that short little phrase. I am what I am by the grace of God. So when people look at you, what do they see? Is it the grace of God in your life? Is it the power, the divine influence of God in your life? So does that mean at the next time I'm in the drive-thru at Tim Hortons, that's going to be a long time, just saying. don't worry, Jake. The next time I'm in the drive-thru and there is this one person there who is just so annoying that I'm not going to feel that annoyance come into my heart. Is that what this means? That I'm not going to feel that? I don't think that's what it means. It means that I have this coming here, this feeling of annoyance coming. I really want to tell that person what I think. But I don't have to, because I have a brand new heart. The divine influence of God is in my heart, and He says, I can love. I don't have to give in to that old way of doing things. If Apostle Paul would have given in to the old way of doing things, how many Christians do you think would have been living in the churches? If he would have gone back and said, oh, I hate these Christians. I got to do what I did before, put them in prison. Live and look out of the reality of who God has made you. That new heart. He's given you a brand new heart that is not dirty. And by the grace of God, you are what you are. Can you say that as you go about your day? By the grace of God, I am what I am. So people see beauty in you. They see glory. They see things coming out of your life that you don't even think of. You're walking, you're going about your normal day, and they see things that you don't even know that they see. Can you say, by the grace of God, I am what I am? It's because of the grace of God. It's not me. Remember, the grace of God is a divine influence. It's not your natural ability. It's not your normal. Yes, now it is normal. But it's not native to you as a person. So the personality that you have is not what the grace of God is. So if you are normally a quiet person, the grace of God is not that, what you normally are, if that makes sense. The grace of God, I am what I am. And he talks about working for God, living for God. Now, what does the grace of God do? What does the grace of God do for you? We've talked a little bit about what it does. Turn to the book of Jude. The book of Jude is quite a interesting book. I love it. It's just packed full with things of life. And we're only going to take two verses out of the book of Jude. And this is in the context of a warning. And we're going to read verse 4 and 5. And as we read it, think about what the grace of God does for you. Jude, verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. We're going to stop there. The grace of God being turned into a license to sin. Oh, I'm a Christian now. I have a brand new heart. So now I can do whatever I want. Is that true or false? Or maybe there's another answer. The grace of God has given me a brand new heart. As you consider that question, I want you to honestly look at that question for yourself. If you have a brand new heart, if it is totally redeemed, can you do what you want? What does the grace of God do for you? What does it do for you? Does the grace of God do anything for you? Or are you simply living a Christian life, knowing that you got born again and I'm going to heaven when I die? Or am I living out of the fullness of that grace, out of that fullness of grace, and stepping into the glory that God has here on this earth? What does the grace of God do for you? Has it changed your actions? Has the grace of God touched every part of your life? You know, God gives you a brand new heart, and he pours into that heart grace. He fills it and keeps filling it and filling it. There's multiple ways he fills it. He keeps filling and filling. I thought about talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well, because that's also another way he keeps pouring in. But we're looking at grace, the divine influence of grace. He keeps pouring in his love, his life. What does it do for you? How does that affect what you live? Or do you just live, I can just live however I want now. I can go out this week, out tomorrow. I'm going to see my coworkers, and they're good. There's always that one annoying coworker. I don't know why there's always one. Wherever I work, there's always one that is annoying. Thankfully, I don't work with any of you, so you can't say it's you. But as I go to work tomorrow, what is the grace of God going to do in my heart with that annoying coworker? What is the grace of God going to do for me when I'm drawn to lust? What is the grace of God going to do for me in that moment? Is the grace of God strong enough for that? Or do I simply have to fall? Oh, I have to give in this time. I don't really want to. I don't really want to live in sin, but I kind of want to live in sin. I know I'm saved, but I don't really want to be free because there's so much fun in sin. I don't want to live free. That's what was happening here in the book of Jude. People did not want to live free in Jesus. They didn't want to experience the grace to change their hearts, to change their lives and make a difference. So that annoying coworker that I have, how is the grace of God going to change that? It doesn't change the fact that sometimes I think that my coworkers are annoying. It doesn't change that fact. God can, as I allow God to change my mind, he can renew my mind. He talks about that in Romans 12, talks about our minds being renewed and being changed, being transformed. But what does the grace of God do for you? Does it allow you to stay in sin, or does it set you free from sin? And the grace of God is great enough to set you free. It's more than great enough. The grace of God is so abundant. The grace of God is so full to allow you to run free. Ask yourself the question, do I view grace as a license to sin? No. I would never view it that way. I would never do that. It's never a license for me to sin. I wouldn't be that type of Christian. When you ask Jesus that question, what does he say? When you ask him, do I view grace as a license to sin? What does he tell you? And if you don't hear him, maybe get alone with him. Spend time with him alone. You know, that is a beautiful, beautiful place to be, is alone with God. And it's not even scary. The King of the universe, the Lord of heaven and earth, being alone with him, being in his presence, he will tell you what your heart is saying. Grace is not a license to sin. Never, never. And it doesn't matter how many people make it that, a license to sin. It never becomes that. Grace stops being grace when we give it sin, when we allow sin to be the result of living in grace. Grace poured out, the divine influence of God on your heart. That grace affects your whole body. Out of your heart come the issues of life. That's why it's so beautiful to have a new heart. Because out of that heart flows life. Out of that heart flows joy and peace. Now, I have the privilege to fill my heart, my mind with anything but that. Anything but joy and peace. I have that privilege to live in the garbage of the world. Every day of my life, I have that privilege to live there, and you would never know it. Yes, you would. You would see it. But I could hide it for a long time. I could cover it up, and you would never know it, that I'm eating junk. I could eat a lot of junk food. That could be my main diet. And you wouldn't see it for a while. Grace of God allows you to sit in His presence because you have within you His presence, and you get to sit in the presence of the King. The grace of God does that for you. Don't eat the junk of the world. Don't eat the garbage. I've been wrestling with this one. I'll say it because it's my personal opinion, okay? Take it as a personal opinion. Don't listen to country music because it's garbage. That's my personal opinion. It doesn't say that in the Bible. That's not my music choice. I know some of you enjoy it. And there's different levels of it. I get it. There is. But when you're listening to a life, a song that is singing of heartbreak and loss and tragedy, hopelessness, darkness. Everything you have is darkness and there's no hope. When I focus on that, when I fill my heart with that, when I take that in, that hopeless, helpless feeling, it replaces the glory and the grace that God wants to pour into my life. That's enough for that one. If you want to listen to country music and you grow in your Christian life, praise the Lord. Go for it. Grow in the grace in your Christian life. What does the grace of God do for you? Why do you serve God? It's because of the grace of God in your life. We have the privilege to walk in that grace. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 4, verse 12. What does the grace of God do for you? And we're going to read verse 12 to verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 to verse 16. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, when was the last time you looked at a throne and said, that is a place of grace? When is the last time you looked at a judgment throne and said, that's a place of grace? That's a place of mercy. And here he's saying, come boldly to that place. Come into that place of grace. Come into that place of mercy. Come boldly. What do you wear? What are you wearing this morning? As you go back to verse 13, it talks about the Word of God and what it does in our lives, how nothing is hidden from God, nothing. And we try to cover ourselves up with things. We try to put good works on. I try to be better. I'm getting better at not getting angry. I'm getting better at it. I'm getting better at not hating people so much. I hate them less than I did before. I'm getting better at it. I'm getting better at not being angry. I'm getting better at not lusting after. I'm getting better. What are you wearing? That's actually the title of the message. What are you wearing? What are you wearing? Are you wearing grace this morning? Are you wearing grace in your life? Is the grace of God the cloak of righteousness that is on you? What are you wearing? Or are you trying to put on a coat, trying to get something on so I look better for God? I want to look good for God. You know, as I get into the presence of God, I feel His holiness. I feel His amazing love looking at me, and I see it, and I feel it. And as I get into His presence, I feel how pure He is, just how lovely He is, how wonderful He is. I get into His presence, and I feel that, and I try to cover up something because I know I can't ever be like that. Can you? Can you be like that? He's put upon you that grace. He's put upon you that robe of righteousness. Verse 13 is what gave me the title of this message. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. When you get into the presence of God, what are you going to keep between you and God? What coat are you going to keep on to try and protect something? I got to protect myself. I got to cover this because God can't see it. I don't want God to see it. God sees it. Do you know you can never be intimate with God? You can never get close to God when you're doing that. You can never get close to His presence when you put on a coat that's not His. When you put a coat on that's not His. When you put on something other than grace. When you live in something other than grace. You cannot get close to God. You cannot live in His presence. I find it interesting in Hebrews here that we read how Jesus was tempted just like we are, yet without sin. So the next time you're tempted to be angry, the next time you're tempted to be annoyed with your coworker, remember Jesus faced that. And it says, yet He didn't sin. Oh, but that was Jesus. He could do that. I could never do that. Is that right? Is that what the new heart within you is capable of? If God gave you a brand new heart, if God really gave you a brand new heart, and He filled it with grace, He poured into it grace upon grace, if He really did that, He meant for you to be able to look at that temptation and say, no, I'm looking at Jesus. I'm never going to look anywhere else but Jesus. That temptation has come knocking. It's come asking for my attention. But the grace of God has come to give me life and life abundant. What are you wearing that keeps you from getting close to God? It can be so many things. There's so many things we try to wear to keep us safe, to keep us protected, to keep us in our little place that's really safe. And it doesn't protect us. It only keeps us from entering into that intimate place with God. And when you're in that intimate place with God, you find out who you really are. God talks to you and he tells you who you really are. And he doesn't say, yes, you're that bad person who persecuted my church. You're that bad person who fell in lust, who lived in sin. You're that bad person. You never hear a word of that from that time in your intimate place with God. He says, come, come to me. I see you. I see you. I see you. And you are mine. You belong to me. I see what you did. I see that your life was a mess. But I say, come. I say, come to me. Come and know me. I want to know you. Jesus is asking that of us. I want to know you, and I want to be able to pour in my grace into your heart so that the world can see, that the world can see that his kingdom has come. Jesus' kingdom has come. And that's a beautiful thing. Grace upon grace. Never again do I need to live with regret. Never again do I ever need to live in the past, in the shame of the past. You know, there's things we've all done in our past before we got saved that we wish we would have never done. There's things, every one of you has things. Some, you think your things are so much greater than anybody else's, but they're not. That's in the past. I no longer have to live with the shame, the regret, because Jesus is looking at me saying, I am enough. I made you clean. I gave you a brand new heart. I put inside of you a brand new heart. And not only that, I filled it with grace. I filled it up. I filled it up. And I keep on filling. I don't just fill it one time and stop, but I keep on filling and filling and filling. You don't need to look back with regret. Yes, there's things I wish I would have never done. Absolutely. But those things have no hold on me anymore. Because grace upon grace. What are you wearing? What is your coat that you're wearing? What is your badge of honor that you're wearing? What is your identity? What are you wearing this morning? And what will you continue to wear this week as you live your life for Jesus? What a glorious privilege we have to wear robes of righteousness. As you walk out these doors, if you are saved, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior and have accepted that new heart, as you walk out these doors, continue to declare the truth that His grace lives in me. His grace is enough, and He's going to continue to pour out that grace. Get in that intimate place with God. Get in that quiet place with God and understand His grace. Experience His grace in its fullness. If you have never said yes to Jesus Christ, do that. Do it now while you're sitting there. Say, yes, Jesus, here's my heart. Just take it. I give it all to you. I'm going to live for you for the rest of my life. Not so I get to heaven, but so that I can bring your kingdom here and live out your kingdom and manifest your kingdom on this earth. What a privilege, what an honor we have to live in grace.